Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 21st, 2016. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me today.
It's awesome.
Fun to be here, as always.
Yeah, and it's always great to have you here. Also, it's always great to have John Martellaro here. How are you?
I'm good. Captain Slow is online.
Glad to hear. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to kind of take a look at Apple today, which I know is probably a huge surprise considering the nature of this show. John, before we were recording, you started tossing out some questions that I thought were actually really good. And one of the questions that you tossed out was, what if the Apple Car becomes this huge success for Apple and makes the company even bigger than it is today, and they're raking in money faster than they are today, as if that's even conceivable? Does that mean there's a likelihood that Apple will lose interest in products like the Mac and potentially even the iPhone?
Yeah, I typically see big companies, you know, branch out with divisions. They put people in charge. They give an executive, senior vice president, great authority to manage something. And sometimes they even hire people who have failed at big projects in the past because they have experience handling billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar projects. I remember a story about an IBM executive who lost several hundred million dollars under Lou Gerstner, and Gerstner calls him into his office, and the guy was afraid he was going to get fired, and this was years ago when Gerstner was IBM CEO, and Gerstner told him, no, I'm not going to fire you. I there's nobody else on the planet who has the kind of experience you just went through. So I compare that to Apple's mentality that, you know, when Steve Jobs came back, Apple was a bit corrupt. There was channel stuffing going on. Vice presidents and senior vice presidents weren't putting Apple's best interests forefront, and they were padding their pockets and buying Porsches, but the company was failing. And Steve had this very fixed idea that he could only vest ultimate power in a very few select people. And that is the executive team that has changed only a little bit over the years. And when I worked for Apple, and then afterwards as well, I saw vice presidents get hired, simple, ordinary, plain Jane vice presidents, not a senior vice president. And they thought, wow, I'm an Apple vice president. I get to call the shots. And they found out that wasn't true. And some of them got fired, and some of them just left in disgust because they didn't really have any authority to make key product decisions. And or they misunderstood their role as execution as opposed to policy. So this executive team at Apple is pretty close-knit with authority. And so with Apple looking like it's branching out to cars, well, what would be the right way to do that? Is an overworked executive team going to take on something that could be really, really huge? They're going to spin out another division, as some companies do, some corporations, and say, well, we're going to trust some senior, seasoned automobile executive to, you know, run this? Or are we going to dabble in everything, stretch ourselves really thin? There's only so many work hours in a day, you know, that you can do. And as the company gets huger and huger, there's a need for distributed authority. And so I'm wondering whether the sort of like the bucket of resources and authority that Apple has is matched to the ambition and the scope of the company's revenues. Well, is one way of saying it.
Okay. So... this question is going to sound horrible, I'm sure. Does Apple have any track record of coming up with a new product that became a huge thing, but at the same time, they were able to maintain their interest in their other product lines?
So that's a good question.
I know what you're getting at. I know what you're getting at. You're going to say the iPhone was so successful, but now people are starting to worry that Apple isn't paying enough attention to the Mac.
Well, but we saw this, right? When the iPhone came out, Apple actually split their engineering efforts, right? After the iPhone came out, they split their engineering efforts, and they would do OS X 1 year and iOS the next year. And it was, you know, they even said, look, we need our best engineers on all of this. The two operating systems are very, very related. I mean, it's the same at the core. We're just adding different frameworks. And so we can't do both at the same time. Obviously, that has changed, but they needed to intentionally make that change, and they made it, right? Another change they could have made was, well, let's just prioritize. I mean, we're making tons of money from iOS here. We could just ignore OS X. We don't need that. You know, look, this company's, we're on a rocket ship right now. Why would we detour that? Well, they made their decisions, right? And it's not just wishful thinking on my part. People need computers less and less so, but there are still people out there that need computers, and a lot of them are the people that need computers to build iOS apps, right? So to cater to the, but it's more than that. I mean, and to be fair, a large portion of their market is not developers, and their products, their computers specifically, are catered towards not developers. In fact, it's the developers often that are the ones whining about how Apple doesn't evolve the computers enough. They do have a track record on this. And I think we've seen how they handled that responsibly, both initially when they realized the burden and then to resolve that burden and free up their resources so that they could continue to do both well.
So where are we, Dave? Are you disagreeing politely?
No, I was just answering Jeff's second question. Okay. yeah, but okay. That's fair. Yeah. Are we disagreeing? Yeah. I think so. The Apple of today is not built to support a third huge business. I don't think the car is going to be unrelated to the iPhone and iOS and Mac and OS X. In fact, I think the right way to think about the car, and this will scare the bejesus out of some
iPhone on wheels.
It's the iPhone on wheels, right? That's what it is, you know, because think about it, right? That all this thinking that Apple has done over many, many decades leads them to this point. Why would they just say, well, we're not going to use any of that stuff. We'll develop something new. No, that's crazy. You've learned about batteries. You've learned about operating systems. You've learned about things that need to
mobile devices,
But mobile devices, the phone needs to be a priority 100% of the time, right? No matter what you're doing on that thing. And this sounds crazy the way we use them now, but certainly the way the iPhone was designed, the phone needed to be like, never can you jettison the code for the phone because somebody else needs more RAM. Right. I mean, this is I know that sounds pedantic, but it's, you know, the driving principle there. This is a telephone. If someone calls, it must ring. Mm-hmm. You know, the phone app needs to be responsive at all times. I don't think most people think about how much effort Apple must have and probably continues to put into maintaining that. But that's the kind of learning that, and the kind of knowledge, and they've done the learning on it, that will prepare them for a car. But no, I don't think Apple's a big enough company now to support a thriving car business alongside its thriving iPhone business and, to be fair, its thriving Mac business.
So that's my thesis, and I think you agree with me then.
I agree with you, but they can get there, and they have a track record of getting there.
Okay, so then that brings up another question. Does Apple need a bigger executive team, or can they make that growth happen at lower ranks in the company?
Given the concentration of Apple's power, my thesis is that if Apple's going to take on a car, as Dave just said, they don't have enough distribution of authority to get the job done. There's only a handful of decision makers at Apple, and they've got their hands full now. One of the things I wanted to mention was is that my experience at Lockheed Martin is that many people think of power, many people think of management, executive management, as three things: power, privilege, and scheduling. When you think about a manager, that's what they're doing. They're exercising power and privilege from their position and managing schedules. But one of the other important things that's always overlooked is that a manager's principal role is to provide his staff the resources that they need to get their job done. And a lot of seasoned executives have a hard time because they can't get the resources they need from upper management to get their job done. So when power is isolated at too high a level, people who are in charge of projects don't have the resources that they need. And I've seen this myself as an Apple employee. It's really hard to convince managers to pay attention to you because their bandwidth is so limited, and even harder to get them to commit resources to you for projects that you think are important. So that's just going to get worse.
So does that mean I need to be worried about whether or not a new MacBook Pro refresh is coming, not this year, but like next year or the year after?
Maybe a Mac Pro coming. Worried. I'm saying I'm also getting a lot of pushback from readers about this pink thing, about the new MacBook, and of course the rose gold. It's self-selecting. Yeah, pink. It's self-selecting because people who are agitated are going to take the trouble to write. And I know that Apple is selling MacBooks hand over fist, and people love them and they're beautiful. And not everybody's taste in color is the same, but there is apparently some subliminal feeling here that MacBooks should be, and MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros should be powerful instruments to help you get your job done. And this overly obsessive focus on thinness and pinkness is irritating a lot of people.
I want to rewind a little bit, Jeff, if I can.
Okay.
To your question and specifically John's response about the size of Apple's executive team. I think you're right. Right up to the point where you relate Apple to Lockheed Martin, their histories don't match.
Oh, I know.
Right. No, I know you know this. But, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that Apple's whole company was built from kind of an auteur culture, right? I mean, and I realize Steve Jobs is not there and obviously not coming back, but the size of the executive team reflects that history. And that has served Apple really, really well.
It has, and they've gone from a $5 billion company to a $215 billion company with the same size executive team. So there's that in
their
favor.
That's the thing. It is, and I think that they will maintain the size of their executive team. I mean, maybe adding,
Well, what worries me is this executive who apparently left the Titan team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to recall that there was this fellow who we thought was the head of the Titan team who
Titan quit. Being the secret car project.
Right. And nobody knows why. Maybe he was overworked. Maybe Apple feels pressure from Tesla. Maybe they accelerated the schedule from 2020 back to 2019, and he felt like he couldn't get the job done under the pressure. Tim Cook is a hard taskmaster. I mean, when he says you will deliver the car in 2019, he's serious and your job is on the line. It's one thing to take responsibility and report to a CEO and have huge resources at your disposal to get the job done. It's another thing to have an awesome responsibility and pressure without necessarily having the ultimate authority to manage resources and make decisions.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You're making one-legged presentations, or your people are, and that's never helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'm getting out of this is I'm going to get my new MacBook Pro. That's okay. But maybe I shouldn't hold my breath for a new Mac Pro.
Oh, don't get me started.
I think that's fair, though. I don't think Apple's market is the Mac Pro.
No, it's not. But there is something to be said for continuing the faith to professionals, technical professionals, scientists, graphics professionals, small workstations. I saw a reader response the other day where he said, I went out and looked for some small work group Dell workstations to handle my department. And I wasn't happy with what I saw from Hewlett Packard and Dell. And so I bought a Mac Pro because it did everything I needed and it did everything well. Of course, Apple has a history of, you know, leaving the past behind and moving on. But the Mac Pro came out just 3 years ago with such fanfare and such affirmation and such strong comments from Phil Schiller about Apple's ability to innovate and its desire to, you know, have a halo Mac that showed their technical leadership, that I would be very surprised that this event of the Mac Pro only lasts 3 years and then they give it up.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But John, you do have me worried on one hand about how Apple's going to manage being in the car market, assuming they do go into that space. But on the other side of that, Dave, you have me not so worried. I'm conflicted right now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we didn't really help, did we?
No, no.
But, it's probably, you know, a superposition of states, as I say.
Yeah. Well, as long as I can get my new MacBook Pro in June, because I'm thinking positive and new models will be coming out in June.
Are you going to buy a rose gold MacBook Pro?
Oh, I'm space gray. I'm all over that.
The manly color.
It looks awesome. But, you know, the rose gold, I know a lot of really high-end graphic designers that do everything on a MacBook Pro. And they would love a rose gold Mac.
Well, yeah, that brings up a good question. I wrote an article the other day about the perceived future of the MacBook Pros and that they would follow the technology lead of the current MacBook, you know, the terraced batteries and the USB-C ports, and that it would look a lot like the current MacBook. But MacBook Pros have always been aluminum. It's not a given that they will inherit the color scheme. We think they might because they're going to follow the MacBook's lead in technology, but maybe not in color. Is that a done deal, you think?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. I just don't want a rose gold Apple car. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that would be cool.
No.
People think you won a Mary Kay Award, Jeff.
They would. I could see people knocking on my window. Can you sell me some eyeliner?
Yeah, man. Hey, but you might have a whole new business. It's like it's free marketing right there.
You know, all of a sudden this is sounding better all the time.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here, too.
You're very welcome.
Both of you guys rock. Listeners, you rock, too. Thanks for being here as well. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.